order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019 at 8:47 on the clock. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The chairman declares the 2018 session formally closed, sin and die. And our newly elected officials, our new board member, Eddie Dorn, they get sworn in tomorrow morning at what? 8:15. So if anybody wants to come to that, they can. The vice chairman will be chosen at the next meeting, which is January 16th. Consent agenda. Number one is general agenda. Two is approved minutes of the meeting held December 19th, 2018. Number three is approve all claims through January 2nd, 2019 in the amount of $435,417.85. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve reappointing Monty Merkel to the Planning and Zoning Commission for another three-year term. Entertain a motion to approve.
I'd move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Beyer, second by Tiemann. Discussion. Vote 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items.
I will just take 1 minute to introduce a special friend of mine, my neighbor Ruby, Ruthie Fritzen. Ruthie, will you stand up, please? She's my neighbor and my friend. Welcome, Ruthie.
I think her grandpa's been here a few times. Her great-grandpa's been here a few times.
Her great-grandpa.
Great-grandpa. Great-grandpa Lenhart's been here a few times, so welcome. Anybody else wanting to speak at this time? If not, we will move on to committee reports. We have a time to meet at 9 o'clock, so we have about 10 minutes. So buildings and ground, winter lights.
Dave.
Good morning. I just had a couple things during the last committee reports, and that was after the roof at the sheriff's office detention center is going to get replaced and paid for by insurance. They said that they could start on it yet this winter right away, which is great. But I did have a concern with we have been working on with Richard Burton up in Lincoln, the architect that's drawing up the plans for the sheriff's garage office remodel. And if they do proceed with that, there would probably be a hole cut in the roof of the garage area so the two floors line up with the doorway. So there'd be just a slight opening there. So I talked to Richard and I talked to Skyline Roofing about if they could hold off on at least that section there until we see the plans on what the sheriff's office model, if this goes or not. I did talk to Richard. He said he should have plans ready by the end of this week. So it'd be nice to look at those first and kind of hold off on that area until we know for sure. And the only other thing I had would be we have a blocked floor drain in the men's restroom, which is not a big deal, but it looks like we'll have to take the ceiling out of the ground floor to repair it. So it'd be kind of a messy job, but it should be a simple job. That's all I had. Thank you.
Yep. Anything else for building ground? Equalization. Nothing more. Finance, insurance.
The large ticket items this time was smaller than normal. City of Wymore, quarterly EMS services, $10,000. Dawson County Sheriff's Department, housing inmates, $10,170. Washington County Sheriff's Office, housing inmates and medical, $15,211.48. Beatrice Concrete, rock and gravel, $23,168.44.
And we had at our committee meeting, we had some discussion on the jail and that and the new or the garage part of it over here. I think we are at $198,000 out of the $298,000 for housing inmates currently. I don't have my sheet in front of me. I think I gave it to somebody else or whatever, but there was two claims again for that coming through. So we are, unfortunately, we're running ahead of schedule. I think Gus made the comment we were at 50, more than 50 inmates. Yeah. So that problem is still ongoing. Anything else for finance insurance? Human resources, employee relations.
I don't have anything, but I wasn't here.
But we'll have something later again. We have the handbook and the call-out policy. So,
right.
Law enforcement, emergency management. And Lisa, you want to come up and just give a quick report?
Sure.
Quick.
Everybody, we reported at our committee meeting influenza A, as most of you know. The county is doing everything that we can for our employees, doing some extra precautionary things, but more importantly, getting the news out there, you know, to the communities that just take those extra precautionary measures of washing hands and so forth. So the other thing is Beatrice is featured on a FEMA podcast, and we encourage everybody to take a look at that podcast. It is episode 25. It was done here in December. What that is, it's a featured podcast that talks about the mitigation funds that the federal agency has given to the city of Beatrice as they make the purchases to get some of those floodplain areas cleaned up and then turn them over to parks and recreational areas. And so that acquisitions is a proactive measure for the mitigation portion of it and how those funds are being measured. So, yeah, I encourage you to take a look at that. It's a very excellent report. Training, you gave us the opportunity to train our employees here, and that was done a week ago, and that was done on evidence collection and also how the crime scene works. Deputy Matt Ernst did that. Excellent educational opportunity for our employees. So many times, you know, people see something on the floor. Maybe it's just an aspirin or something that's dropped out of the pocket. Your natural instinct is to pick that up. We can't do that, you know, because of the severity of some of the drugs that are out there. And so Deputy Ernst gave the employees the opportunity to look, feel, touch, see some of those things that they're seeing out in the field too. So on the zoning side of it, we've completed our year. We had 130 permits come in with about 25 homes and additions and several grain bins. I think we're up to 24 grain bins right now. That was out of those 130 permits, we had 58 of those be agricultural specific. So we've completed that year, and now we're moving over to the next year with lots of inquiries coming in. So we'll be here on the agenda today to talk about those regulations other than that, that's all I have. So if you have any questions, certainly let me know.
Road and Bridge.
Discussions were Monday.
You sound great, Terry.
All right, here we go. John had asked about a stop sign at Osage and South 36th Road. Galen had traffic counters out at that area. There was a low volume. His recommendation, or I don't know if we did come to that, would be no change on that area.
I keep looking at Eric, and he's not calling you.
Okay.
I was thinking about it.
There's two fines.
Vacating TP Road. It's within Beatrice's 2-mile radius or halo. So Galen will talk to the city about that. Galen also presented the 1- and 6-year plan. It's all listed down there, quite a few projects, and I didn't get them, but quite a few projects were completed last year. Most of the remaining on the one-year plan are upcoming to get completed this year. Weather kind of put a halt to things early this year. So basically that's it.
I didn't read that till now, but yeah, Terry didn't shut me off twice. We kept talking. All
the I didn't want to bring that up, Myron.
That was my. I got my name in there though, so yeah. Because usually when I wrote it, I didn't put my name in there. So, anything else for Ruin Bridge? If not, we have 2 minutes time here yet, and I don't know. I guess I'll let Roger talk a little bit about this grant we got.
Oh, okay. Basically, that's a reimbursement from the state through the federal government for some of our expenses with Mr. Kravitz as an authorized attorney going after child support. And just wanted to advise you that we got $23,496 back. And a lot of that also, Diane Wells with the clerk of the district court does a real good job keeping track of the records and submitting those too. So some paperwork that gets submitted in a timely fashion and get some money back to the county.
Yeah, it's got that, says December 20th of 2018, and yeah, they have quite a sheet here where they go through your different aspects of what you do and how you do it, and we have a contract with Mr. Kravick to do the
right. And then Maxim is basically helps us prepare the audit. You've got to go through an audit. That's why you're a year behind.
Yeah.
And basically justify your expenses, then get a percentage back.
Yep.
And part of that is under the federal regulations, you have to be a certain percentage of successful in going after some of these absentee fathers, absentee parents, I should say, on child support.
And he's very good at that. He is very aggressive, and he does his homework, and he makes sure that, that job is done correct. We have a good investment there.
Yeah. Good. So we do have a time to end at 9 o'clock, a Veterans Honor, and I will call Phil forward. It's 9 o'clock on the clock. So.
Morning. It's my pleasure this morning to introduce to you George Pinkerton. He served in the United States Army as an infantry officer as a when he got out, he was a second lieutenant. He joined the Army on August 14th, 1951, and was discharged on April 2nd, 1953. He received the Korean Service Medal with Bronze Service Star, United Nations Service Medal, National Defense Service Medal, and the Korean Defense Medal. He served as again as an infantry officer and served in Korea. So at this time, I'd like to introduce George Pinkerton.
No? Okay. Thank you.
And we have a little a plaque and something else from the county for you, George.
George, I've known George for a long time, too.
Yeah.
George, on behalf of the county, I would like to give you these small tokens of our appreciation. This plaque and this gift here.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, George. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, George.
George has been a good friend of mine for many, many, many years.
Well, we thank you for your service, George. We thank you very much for your service. And the one thing I'm going to miss, people keep asking me, what am I going to miss, or what they thought we did a great job of, and I haven't brought up on the county board. And when Matt started this, this has been a program that in the county has been well received. It's been great to be able to honor some of our veterans that have served our county in the wars that they've served and find out a little bit about some of the history and some of their stories. That is one thing that I am definitely going to miss, because it's been quite an honor to sit up here and honor some of these people for the service that they've done for us and for our country. So thank you, George.
I might add, this policy that Matt started has carried out through other counties now also. Other counties have started this same type of thing.
Yes.
So, good job, Matt.
It was just an idea. The board voted on it, and Phil does a lot of the legwork.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Phil. We have another time to be in at 9:15, so we will continue on. We're done with committee reports. Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove resolution for Homestead National Monument name change to Homestead National Historic Park. And we will call on Diane and
move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve from Lytle and seconded from Bauman.
Thank you. Good morning. I am Diane Vickers. I'm president of the Friends of Homestead National Monument, and I'm want to thank you for the opportunity to come and share with you a little bit about my passion for changing the name and why we want your support and appreciate your support for this name change. So I'm going to start with a story, my story, really, that kind of gave me the desire to do this. And so 30-plus years ago, when I first came to Beatrice, had to go out and see Homestead National Monument, right? Thinking that I would go out there, stop in, take a quick look at this rock or this statue or this monument, and then be on my way. And I got there, and I went through the museum. No monument. Went out on the trails. I walked the entire trail system. Did not find a monument. So I swallowed my pride, and I went up to a ranger, and I said, "So what am I missing? Where's this statue?" And the ranger politely smiled and said, "There is no statue. There is no monument. But we have a wonderful trail system, and I hope you enjoyed walking the trails." And so through the years, we've had lots of conversation with lots of visitors who come in looking for this monument, this statue. And really, there isn't one. We are a park. And really and truly, a survey that the monument did about a decade ago now showed that 90% of first-time visitors to Homestead National Monument are thinking they're going to buzz in, they're going to see this statue or this monument, and then they're going to buzz on down the road to their next vacation spot. And so we believe that really and truly, by adding the word historical park to our name, that we will open the conversation and the opportunity for people to stop and take a second look and say, you know what, maybe we should schedule a little bit more time to take a look. Maybe there's a monument. Maybe there's a program. Maybe there's a trail to wander. Maybe there's more to do than just to see the monument. We also know from the case studies that the National Park Service does that those parks that do change, their sites that do change their name to include the word park, in our case historical park, do see an increase in visitation. And by seeing that increase in visitation, they also see an increase in those tourism dollars and those economic dollars, not only at the park, but in Beatrice and in those gateway communities to those park sites. And so we think that's an added benefit. The name, of course, does require an act of Congress. So we have reached out. Adrian Smith did introduce legislation in the U.S. House. We are working with our senators to do the same on the Senate side. But we do know that support from our local entities, like the county board, go a long ways to helping that congressional support as well. So we appreciate your willingness to consider that support. The name change really and truly is a name change only. It does not change the status of the site. We are all National Park Service sites are governed by what they call the Organic Act of 1916. And so whether you're a national park or a memorial or a historical park, you're all governed by that same those same regulations and policies. We see it more really as a marketing and public relations tool that would help us share our story a little bit more, not only locally, but on that national and international level. We do not believe there'll be much of an economic cost to implementing a name change. All national park sites are on a rotation system to have their signage and their letterhead and all those things upgraded from time to time, and we are on the schedule to have that done. So we think that is accounted for as well. So all in all, Homestead National Monument is a wonderful, wonderful tourism site for our local community. I hope you've been out there. Mark Engler, who is here in spirit with us, as you all know, the Park Service is temporarily shut down. He is here in spirit, and he and his team does an incredible job of providing services and programs and to expand all of that as much as they can. And so we think the name change, again, gives us an opportunity to share not only locally but nationally and internationally what we have to offer. So we appreciate your consideration of that resolution, and if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them as best I can.
Oh, and thank you for coming to our committee meeting on Monday morning. We had a good discussion then, and the paper already had a good article on it today in today's paper about the name change and what you've been going through to try and get this accomplished. So,
and we appreciate all you do as Friends of the Homestead voluntarily to help promote our Homestead National, excuse me, our Homestead National Historical Park.
Park. Thank you.
I'll get it.
And the other thing, this is resolution number 19-01. Don has it.
I would move to approve.
Yes. Well, and this is a resolution. In the motion to approve, it will be a resolution, correct?
It's a resolution.
Resolution
19-01. But I have a motion made
Sorry,
by Lytle,
you got a,
second
you
by
got a
Byers,
motion
in the second. Bauman.
Oh, motion by Byers, second by Bauman. Just so you Lytle. Both know that.
Lytle.
Oh, sorry, I misunderstood you.
Yep.
Okay, motion by Lytle, second by Bauman. Just so both of you know and everybody else too, and that it's 01 because it's year 19 again, so we
right.
change.
Start
so
over.
Start over. So, any other questions? If not, vote 7-0 in favor.
Thank you. And I will just say, if you've not been out to the monument recently, we encourage you to come out. We continue to add displays and promotions, and we welcome you. Thank you.
I'll come to the park. I won't come to the monument.
Okay. And we're going to next up on the agenda, because we have a time limit at 9:15. We have a little bit of time, but we have approve or disapprove resolution directing the highway superintendent to make a report on the possible vacation of right-of-way on a part of the northwest quarter of Section 19, Township 4 North, Range 6 East, and on part of the northeast quarter of Section 24, Township 4 North, Range 5 East of the 6th PM. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove, and then we'll have Galen talk about it.
19-02.
This is resolution 19-02.
Motion to approve. Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Thiemann. Galen, come up and explain this.
This is an old township road that years ago used to go down to what I believe was what they call the TP Club Road. And every time we'd the Big Blue River would flood, the river would try to cut through this existing road down to the old club and wash the road away. Well, over the years, part of the original road actually is in the river. I believe it was in 2015 in the flooding. It washed a segment of the road away again, and we had to close the road because in order to rebuild the road, we had to purchase more right-of-way because the existing right-of-way was in the river. And since that time, with several discussions and all, I guess we come to the conclusion, along with the township, that it would be in best interest to vacate this portion of road. And that's what this resolution is all about.
And the property owners, what the TV property owners back there, and also the owner, what this road will go by, they've been part of the discussion. The township's been involved with the discussion financially. We had a meeting with Roger, myself, and can't remember who else was there, but there, the township was there.
Board and their attorney.
And their attorney, and the property owner and their attorney were all there. And the township and the property owners are working on a financial settlement over this. The county needs to officially close this road so that then that can be sold to the TP property owners and become part of theirs. And Galen's right. Part of this road, when you look at the map today, part of this road goes out and it's in the Blue River. It's washed away that much over the years. So when you look at the maps, it's kind of fascinating to see what actually has happened out there. They did look at getting a FEMA grant, and they actually did get part of FEMA money, but the cost to redo it for the township was going to be north of $100,000, maybe $200,000. The cost was going to be prohibitive to do, and so they worked on the arrangement to get this done to work towards making this a private road whereby that owner could own the road.
But basically, we've had several meetings. Galen's been instrumental as far as there's some things you can do, some things you can't do as far as FEMA money and working with the Army Corps. The other thing, a major issue for the county was a safety issue. You know, it's a road that isn't used very often and sometimes not for very good purposes. So it really operates as a benefit to the county to close it so that it will not be a public road. It will service only the lodge, if you will, I guess what they call it. But that will be between the private owners down there. We'll be bringing that, discussion, when they get that all wrapped up. They're still negotiating some numbers there.
But what this does is it starts a study so that, and the things that the county needs to do to make this have the public part of this and closing that road.
Yes.
Any more discussion, questions? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor. Thank you, Galen. We have one more minute on the clock here yet for a timed event at 9:15.
So, note, Eric's been very helpful with looking at solutions on that TP road also. Appreciate his help.
And it's just out here west of town, and the other end of the road goes nowhere. It stops. The Blue River stops it and stuff. So it's something everybody deals with. And every time the concern out there or the issue arises when we have the major floods out there on the Blue River, then it doesn't follow the river around. It cuts across, and that's where it starts cutting this road out and everything. So, and in 15, I think that was the last ones in. It really did a number again. So, okay, we have a timed event at 9:15 on the clock, and that is the presentation of a plaque to Ronald Novotny for his years of service to Gage County. And Galen, you want to come and talk a little bit about, or Ron wants to vote too, whoever?
Must be.
You want to tell us how started, many years and, yep.
I believe it was in 1979, December 1st in 79.
Yep.
Ron started with the county. I have worked with Ron for those 39 years, and it's going to be very hard to replace Ron. He's always done an excellent job and on everything he done. So I just want to wish him a happy retirement and appreciate it all the years that I got to work with you.
You bet.
So thank you.
Would you like to say something?
Well, I'd just like to say it's been an honor and a privilege to serve the county and the board, and it's been a lot of fun sometimes and a lot of headaches the other.
And currently, what was your title down there? What were you doing right now?
I was a dirt foreman, grading foreman.
Yep,
for that many years.
Well, no, thank you. That's quite an accomplishment, 39 years, to be in the same same job or same office or workplace. That doesn't happen, or don't seem like it happens that often. So that's.
And him and I both, he's been there, 6 months longer than me?
Yeah. Started in the spring, in the fall. Yeah.
So, no, and the county definitely thanks you for your time and your effort and all the work you put in and the jobs and the help you've given the county. So thank you very, very much. So.
Terry has something.
And Terry's got a little something for you.
Most cases, I would like to say it's a pleasure to give you this plaque, but in this case, it's not, because we're missing a valuable employee. He's been an asset to the county for the 40 years he's been there. Hardworking, and he's going to be very hard to replace. I will guarantee you that. Ron, thank you.
Thank you.
That's okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. A little more relaxing now.
Okay. I was in the board when he started back in the late 70s. So.
Oh, you were?
You were
my first trip on the board.
You were on the board when he started?
Yeah.
Have you retired already, or what's your date?
Here. Well, today'd be my last day. I've been burning up to vacation and stuff, and that's
it. Well, good.
We'll get a lot of road work done today. Okay.
We have a time to end at 9:30, so we'll wait for that. Next up on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove supporting legislative bill on sales tax for payment of federal judgments. Put this on here. We've had a discussion for several times about a bill that, working with Senator Baker's staff, which will be my staff, and working on a proposal and change to the county sales tax policy or statute, which the state has currently. A county would have to go through a vote of the people to approve it, and then we could only collect that where another government entity is not. This proposal, basically, to sum this up, it would be a sales tax that could be approved by a resolution of two-thirds vote of the county board. It would be a half-cent sales tax. It would be only in our county. It would be only in the county that is paying a federal judgment. So it's only for a federal judgment. This could not, a county could not go and impose this for some other project. John here wants to do a jail with it, but it would not be allowed for a jail.
Yep.
This is only the way it is written, and I want to emphasize something else. I don't know how this bill will end up when it gets up there, or if there will be changes to it or not, or if it has the possibility of passing or not. That is up to the senators up there. But this, the way it is going to be proposed, is it is only for the payment of the federal judgment. The sales tax will end when that judgment is all paid off, for however long a period of time that takes. Some of the things included in there, part of it is it's generic to any county then. It's generic to any county in the state. If any county in the state has something like this happen to them, it does. Originally, at one time, we talked about in there that we would have at one times your annual budget. I visited with enough other senators and enough other people and decided to pull that out. That may be something I might get added in later. I don't know that. But this bill going forward does not have that in there. Visited with some, I call it some Omaha senators and people up there, and if they ever had a federal judgment, even if it was a $30 million judgment, they're not sure that the county of, Douglas County or Lancaster County would need to impose a half-cent sales tax. So it doesn't have the effect on them it does have on a county like ours, where, you know, our annual budget is 20-some million, 24 million, so ours would be more than that. But decided to leave that out of there. But those are the basic principles of this deal, or not deal, bill. And it outlines in the bill when it starts. It basically takes the sales tax bill that is up there now, that for counties now, and it inserts or includes some of these different exemptions that would qualify Gage County or any county paying a federal judgment to allow this type of sales tax. So, and the reason I'm bringing it to this board is talked to several senators about it, and they feel it would be really important, or really show a strong view that the county board would approve this when it goes up there, that the county board is in support of this bill. Like I said, I cannot guarantee you that everything that's part of this is going to be approved or not approved, or might be an amendment or something taken out. Hopefully we can get it approved. What the net result is, it will take some of the pressure off of the sales tax. Currently, the only way we can, not sales tax, property taxes. The only way we can pay for this today is by property tax. This hopefully will bring in about $1 million a year, give or take. If this can be implemented this year, maybe you can start collecting it next year. And over the last 6 or 7 years, that's the amount of money that could be that could come in and take that away from sales tax, property taxes. Terry.
Myron, I think an important part of this is, you know, this will not take away from the property tax burden that is there.
Yeah.
It will just pay the judgment off quicker. It's an extra.
It's an extra
piece that will go in there. So it's not going to lessen your property tax burden for the next few years, which we have in place right now, but it will lessen the longevity of it. Let's put it that way.
And it will give a little bit of relief. And I see Greg Lobby sitting here, too. His bill is up there. That will be introduced. And there's another one that the trial attorneys have on the state, borrowing the money at 0.5%. And that will be introduced, too. So both of those will be introduced. And I know Don was here earlier and talked about several times about that the state should be liable and should pay for part of this. Still going that route, we will still pursue that greatly also. This is another step through the whole process, and this is intended strictly for some relief on property taxes. That's what this is looking at. It may not even pass. I will say that also. It may not. I don't know what the whole view of all the senators and what the body will be up there if this is something that they would accept or pass. So I don't know that. But we're definitely not giving up on the possibility, too, of those other bills, and then also that the state or other financial assistant could be forthcoming. So this isn't intended to replace any of that. This is just another way that our county could collect and help pay for that federal judgment instead of right now 100% property taxes.
This is another one that, soon as the judgment's paid for, it goes away completely. This isn't one that lingers out longer. That's all spelled out in here.
Yeah.
So as soon as the judgment would be paid, this one dissipates out.
This one did end. So, and just because this board is in favor of this doesn't mean this will pass up there. So. Did we have a motion?
Nothing yet.
We don't have a motion or anything.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergens, seconded by Hill. Any more discussion? If not, vote 7-0 in favor.
Okay.
Well, we have a discussion on emergency service call-out policy. I don't know. Can we get that done in 5 minutes? Otherwise, we have
nothing.
Probably not.
Well, let's take a five-minute break. The next thing is a timed event at 9:30 for discuss and approve or disapprove planning and zoning regulations. So we'll take a five-minute break. We got 5 minutes on the clock. Okay, it's 9:31 on the clock. We will come out of recess, and we have on the agenda discuss and approve or disapprove the planning and zoning regulation and the changes. Lisa?
So as you know, we presented to you and you've discussed, and it's kind of boiled down to basically the impacts being included in as the board has recommended. So from this point, that's really all we have. You know, it's time to move on with whatever decision that we make. And obviously, you know, we'll have regulations that'll come along. We're going to work on solar regs right now. So there'll always be those additions as we go along as our industry changes and our county's needs change. So.
And while you mentioned the solar, mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned wind or solar, but solar, even a little bit of time I've been up there already, there's somebody that wanted me to introduce a bill mm-hmm. concerning solar and the part that is out there or whatever. So that's something that I mentioned, I said that you had been, you went over the one at Fairbury, and then there's,
yes.
They kind of delayed theirs so that they could get.
They actually denied that particular permit so they can move forward with some recommendations of some regulations.
But
so,
back to the subject at hand here, the zoning board did approve some recommendations and forwarded them on to us. We had our public hearing at our last meeting, and I know there is some discussion amongst the board, a part of that, whether or not to include that or not. So we will start that discussion.
I'm kind of the opinion that we should, include that Farm Bureau pamphlet or something similar to that instead of it, and maybe add a statement that Gage County is zoned to allow for competing interests to coexist, with setbacks, reasonable setbacks already established. Gage County is an agricultural county and will remain so. Review this pamphlet, and while it may seem ideal to move to an acreage, the same services you are used to may be unavailable or limited. Because there's more issues than just the ag impact. I mean, people get out there and they, could be snowed in for 3 or 4 days, and if it's severe enough. Obviously, our gravel roads are an issue for them, but they're not going to get paved.
So, sorry, was that a motion?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is that a motion? You want to add that, or you want, or how do you want to include that?
I can make it as a motion, but what's people's thoughts on it? I mean, I hate to go against the advice of our, the attorney that deals with P&Z, and it also gives me caution that Hannah Keelan is, not willing to put their name on it if we leave that in there. And I certainly understand the point of planning and zoning in that they, they feel the impact of people kind of encroaching on agriculture. Especially on the northern tier of the county.
Yeah.
But by the same token, we don't want to put ourselves in legal limbo either.
Yeah. So you want to add this as another segment, you're basically another statement you're saying.
Right. And we'll make sure that they're given that pamphlet instead of including that list of things in the...
But
so you want to remove?
You want to remove? I call it on page 20, and it says
right. We're
within such application, and it goes through and lists. This is the page that we as a board have had a lot of the discussion on. If I'm thinking right, John, you tell me to. But it's on page 20 there. Basically, you wanted to remove. This is a change that the Planning and Zoning Board did come up with. A proposal that I know, and Doug, don't be afraid to speak up too. This is a lot of their discussion settled on. No, not Doug. Argo.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Yep.
The other. I know that Doug Argo. This is a part of their discussion, and they had a lot of discussion on this, and a lot of thoughts went into this and reasons why. And I know part of what we've done is kind of delayed implementing this so that our board could go and talk to them at their meeting. And Don has both their planning and zoning
minutes
from December 11th, August 14th, and their proposed zoning regulation changes. There's a list of those here, what they are. But this is the page that you're looking
right.
at. So are you making a motion, or do you want to make a motion?
Just so I could clarify, if you will, we have the impacts listed in all the A1, A2, A3, and A4 districts. So it's just not that one particular area that you're looking at, that one page number. A1, 2, 3, and 4 list agricultural impacts.
But they're all the same.
They're all the same.
Locations.
Yep, they're all the same.
On each of the pages, each was a district.
Yes. Yep.
So you're saying that this is on four times in here? No, you're not saying
it is.
That.
Yes, it is.
It's listed
on
four
times
in here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Same
and
way.
Each one of the A1, 2, 3, and 4 in each one of those districts.
The P&Z meeting we went to, they did go over this again and again, trying to talk about how this would affect people as they move into the ag side as acreage owners. In District 3 there, we have different acreage owners, the same as to the north now. Sometimes the same situation, especially the northern part of the county. We're going to see more and more people from Lancaster, perhaps from town where they aren't used to being out of town. And there are a lot of different situations when you live out of town. I still think it's beneficial, but gravel roads, rock chips, that Farm Bureau pamphlet's written really well. But the P&Z kept talking, and they did add on that section 2 on page 20 to number 2 at the B, or as the same may be here and after developed in Gage County, they added within local, state, and federal laws, including but not limited to. So that language left this open. Some of the talk was fear of a lawsuit just in case something wasn't specifically listed. And this does say within local, state, and federal laws. I guess I would lean towards supporting the P&Z on their decision. They've gone through all this. I know there's a potential legal question here, but it's still broad. It's still open. I would still like to see that pamphlet handed out with it. But for someone moving outside of city limits, this is good for them to think about other things they might be dealing with. I know I talked to that lawyer, Justin, that helps with the P&Z, and he said it's only a suggestion. That's my opinion. Just like any legal opinion, you have to weigh it, I guess, and see how that affects the whole picture of things. But the other talk was we lean heavily on our P&Z towards agriculture. We don't zone municipalities. We don't zone first-class cities. We're in charge of agriculture zoning as a county. Other than the unincorporated or the villages, we may, you know, impose our zoning on them. All the other communities have their own zoning. So just when you're looking at this, I would keep that in mind as well.
Anybody else have any comments, or we need a proposal to approve it as it is, or we need a motion to add something, John, if you want to do that. Terry?
I would like to make a motion to approve the current handbook, or whatever we want to call it, as originally written and approved by the Zoning Commission.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Jurgen and a second by Bauman. Now more discussion. Gary?
Well, I'm still not overly excited by this, because to me it's really all we're doing is cluttering up our document. We're putting, four different times in there, you're putting in some wording that sometimes the homeowner most likely won't even see the documentation, won't even see this stuff, because it's going to go through a builder. This doesn't change anything as far as legal rights to do this or that. All it is is trying to educate the people that are going to be moving from the city into rural areas. And I still really do not think that this does a good job, or this does the job of educating people. I think it really is a knee-jerk reaction, and I understand what we're trying to do. I think that it's a solution. I don't think it's a deal where you can approve this and then step back and say, well, that's done. So I don't like cluttering up our books and our paperwork. But that being said, our P&Z approved it. They feel pretty strongly about this. And Eric, the discussion Eric had with the attorney, gives me a little bit of comfort into what his opinion in the deal is. So, I'll vote for it, but I still don't think it's a great idea.
Could we still make that mandatory to hand out that pamphlet with? Because, I mean, that is a well-written pamphlet.
We certainly can. Just keep in mind is that's going to hit only a small percentage of the people, you know, because so many times the bill of sale is done after the fact, you know, or we're never in touch, because if it's an existing partial that's already, you know, been partialed out, we won't have an opportunity to permit that at all unless an improvement comes forward.
If somebody's building a new house and the builder comes to get the permit, he may not ever pass that on either.
No, I mean, we'll do our best to get out to the real estate agents and things like that and get it in their hands.
Does the chamber still do a welcome packet as people move in? I mean, that may be something to actually make available to them, and they could send that out in the welcome packet. That would go directly to the homeowner.
Good job.
Terry?
This is just another one where common sense prevails. I mean, if you're moving to the country, common sense prevails. You're not going to have all the things, if you lived in town or in a big city, they're not going to be there. I mean, it's just common sense. So.
Common sense to us. It becomes common sense once somebody's been out there for a short period of time.
Well, I'll make a comment. When zoning came into the county in the 90s or whatever, I can still remember having a discussion with some people. Why do we need zoning in Gage County? What purpose is that going to serve us? Well, I think in the last few years, we found out that, oh, my goodness, now we have something in place. We have something down. We have something that when we're challenged in court, there's something to go back to. And I think it's sitting on this board at least, and I think people in the county too realize now more that it's a wonderful thing to have. I'm so thankful that we do have zoning, that there is an opportunity to have your voice heard when you disagree or you don't like what's about to happen. We do have that opportunity here. I think I'm going to vote in favor of this also. I think what our zoning board, I don't know how many meetings they had. It wasn't just one, two, or three over this discussion. They put a lot of time, effort, and work into this. There's always, if we're trying to head off, I call it a future lawsuit, that probably is not going to happen. There's always that opportunity out there. We will not solve that issue. When you do go around the state, though, and visit with some of the other county board members, especially like went around in Kearney and stuff, and then you visit with some of them have it, some of them don't have it. I know up in Cherry County, their regulations on wind farms, and Roger made the comment, well, if you can't build one in Cherry County, where can you build one? And then we talked to that lady for probably an hour again the other night, or a couple weeks ago, and just to get her perspective and her take on it and what they're all going through in Cherry County. And it's not an issue that is only Gage County. It's an issue for everybody. So any more comments?
Just a second. Man.
We had discussion that protest. I just want to make sure that this was what the language was that you guys ended up. We had that letter from the.
You're asking about the reference of the protest and then the statement that you adopted from Justin, wasn't it? He had wrote a statement, I believe, that went with that, that backs up that particular protest can't be changed, I think, process of the 14 days.
We were just, we're trying to get because we had a situation where, like, the night before the public hearing that was scheduled, all of a sudden we get all these petitions. And I mean, there were people from Omaha, there were people from Colorado that signed these things, like, and that's one that was involved with the suit going over to Saline County and the judge over there. And we basically threw those out. Now, it turned out she didn't like that, which lawyers can agree to disagree.
Okay. And,
but I think, what we've done on that second one, we did that. I sent a letter to the attorney saying, here's what's going to be required. And they complied with it. So that's one less issue. Now, if you don't have an attorney, sometimes that's going to be an issue. But there's usually somebody that's an individual that's in charge of the opposition that we can talk to and help them through that. I don't have any problem with that. And I'm like, Gary, at some point, you know, your zoning book's going to start looking like statutes. And I don't think it's a problem. And I would agree with Myron there. You know, it's not fun doing those and through those hearings, but that's the necessary back and forth that you're going to have when you have competing land use requests. And again, it's a lot of time.
Yep.
And,
sure.
But that's much better than having people getting in physical fights over situations. So,
nope. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Any more discussion? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for the Planning and Zoning Board, and appreciate the work and the time they put in. And I think this is probably about a year and a half ago, maybe more, when we hired Hannah Keelan since we started on this. It's taken that long. And I know the goal was originally every 10 years to look at it. We was maybe 7 or 8 years out, and since it was last updated, and updated it now. And so we'll kind of watch and see when it gets updated again. So, yeah. So, thank you. Then the last thing we have on the agenda, discussion on emergency service call-out policy.
The last thing that you're going to get to discuss might have been the first two.
It might have been when I came here. This might have been the first one that we ever had discussion on. So it's been going on that long or whatever on this. And just because we do something today, this isn't going to end and go away also. It's like the zoning thing. It's not.
Would you like a motion to move it to the next meeting as a parting gift?
Yeah. Good idea, man. Yeah.
Monday, I told him he's not leaving without this being done.
Yeah. And stuff, so.
Well, we're not voting on it today.
We've had a lot of discussion on it. We currently have in the handbook, we have the Gage County Highway Department, what we call call-out pay policy. The proposal, or one of the things I brought forward on Monday for discussion at the committee, was strike the last paragraph there and insert what I'd call the snow and ice policy, and since then we've come up with what we call it emergency services. In other words, it's when they get called out down there above and beyond what their normal working hours are for an emergency, basically. It's not something that Galen's not going to schedule work for him for. The normal day ends at 3:30, and he wants them to finish that bridge project out there and wants them to stay till 6 o'clock. This won't affect that. This is more for basically snow and ice, but there also might be a time during the rest of the year we have an flooding in the county, or we have some road issues or something that might need work on. I threw this out just as discussion that morning, Monday morning, and as the thing in the notes said, Terry told me that was it. We're done twice. Yeah. And that it took 10 or 15 minutes in. And we've had several times we've had hours of discussion on this. So,
and Myron, just the reason why we're talking about it again is I guess I just wanted to get a feel what the board, and in 2 weeks we'll vote on something, is my anticipation. But before that vote was made, I wanted to go down and talk to the employees and tell them, hey, this is what we're looking at doing.
Yeah.
This is probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Here's what we're looking at. And I felt it was my obligation to go down and do that because of all the turmoil and stuff that we've created through these years. So.
And I do like that very much. I think we need to go down. Something we haven't done. We've gone down. We basically told the highway employees, here's the policy. We changed it. Here you guys are. It's yours. Terry came up with the idea that if there's parts of this you like or don't like, he's going to go down and visit with them. I won't get an opportunity to vote on it in 2 weeks. You maybe you will have it on the agenda again in 2 weeks. Yeah. So
you're welcome to come.
No, I won't be able to. And so, well, I could, but I probably will be busy. I'll put it that way. So, but I do like the idea that Terry goes down and meets with them and has that discussion with the employees and gets their feedback on this. John, you had something?
Well, my thought is that the call-out pay needs to be a separate item, you know, because it's not involved with the callback and that. I'm still of the opinion that you count a holiday that was taken on the day of the holiday, count as hours worked, and then you go with time and a half or regular overtime policy that fits everybody else in the county system outside of the FOP. So I don't think there needs to be a separate item there.
So what you would do is just count holiday pay as worked hours, leave everything the same.
Yep.
Other than that 40-hour worked week.
But in the 40-hour work week, he's going to count a holiday hours towards that 40 hours. And that's a little different than this here, yeah. What I'd come up with, yeah. Yeah, Gary.
At first when John brought this up a month ago, because John's been talking about this a little bit, I wasn't a real big fan of it. But I think this is something that we can do that's countywide. It doesn't create a separate clause for one department in our county. Just make it where holidays count as part of the hours worked. And then because really, at the end of the day, I know there's a lot of people that are getting hung up over, is this called call out pay or is it called emergency pay or is it called this or that? All that really truly matters is that the guys are getting paid the time and a half. It really doesn't matter what we call it. So, there is not very many instances when people have been called out. Now, I know Galen could walk up here and he could give us a couple of times where somebody took a vacation or something and then we had a snowstorm that came up and, but for the most part, if you take the holidays out, there's not going to be too many weeks when there would be somebody called out and then they would not have the 40 hours of work time to where they get the time and a half for doing the overtime work. So, I guess in my mind, I think that would be a good coming to the middle and agreeing on something is that, you give them the holidays as hours worked and then we really don't need to do anything separate. We leave the call out policy what it is because that's for when somebody's on call and they get called out. And then by making that change, I don't know that you really need to create another clause in there that says.
So leave this policy we have here and then add some, where I don't know where the appropriate spot is in the handbook, but add in the handbook that the holiday hours will be counted towards your 40-hour work week.
Right. And then that would, like when Don's office is doing the, all the election stuff, then if there's a holiday that falls in there, I don't remember if there is one or not. I think there is sometimes. If that's the case, then those people are not here all hours of the night doing election stuff and not getting time and a half.
They're working all those extra hours with a holiday in there. They could never get to the 40-hour work week, so they wouldn't be getting paid overtime for those extra hours.
Right.
And if you inserted this in the handbook.
Right.
So. Eric?
Talking to the employees, I know they want funeral, sick, vacation, all those benefit hours counted as worked hours, too. What we need to remember is these are the people that pay all of our salaries are working people that don't have all these benefits. The people paying for all this, how many vacation hours have you got farming, Myron, or sick days? We have to keep in mind who's paying our salary. So at some point, we need to limit benefits here. I think that's a good compromise, a good in-between. It's giving some, but it's saying, okay, enough's enough. Because it's someone else's money, it's always easy to give it away and spend it, and it's always easy to want more. But somewhere or other, we need to say enough's enough. And this is probably a good give and take with the employees and with the taxpayer. We need to think about that line.
And if we counted holidays worked as work hours, it would go both ways. There'd be times when they wouldn't get their time and a half, but there'd be times when they would get it where they wouldn't get it under the existing policy, like, when they went down for salt after the holiday, because the holiday they didn't get time and a half.
for those extra hours. This would give it to them. There'd be hours where they wouldn't get it. But you can't count sick time and everything else as hours worked. You just can't.
I agree with you.
And we'll settle it in 2 weeks.
No, I think Terry needs to, sometime here in the next 2 weeks, you have a meeting, you go down and coordinate that with Galen, have a meeting with him, and forget the part that I came up with.
It was so good, too, Myra.
I know it was. Yeah. I'd have voted for it.
No, so the gist is then, you know, holidays will be counted as worked hours, yeah. But sick time, vacation, or a day taken off will not be.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Is that the gist that I'm getting from everybody?
We're getting.
I think that'll hit the majority of the issue spots, too. I mean, Galen, is that seem like that would catch most of the...
It'll definitely help. One of the biggest questions has been, okay, what entails the call-out pay? You know, because when we turn it in and it comes up for... book and stuff up here, there's always been a disagreement. For example, if one of my foremen calls the guys at home, says, okay, we had a snowstorm, for example, be to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, okay, then that argument, okay, what is call-out pay? Does that qualify for call-out pay? And that's gone back and forth.
Well, I've even botched that up with you in the last month.
That's been one of the biggest downfalls that seems like we always end up in this discussion is over that, this particular thing. And don't get me wrong, including the holiday in there for counting towards your 40-hour week, that will definitely help on the holiday situation. But it's not going to help when you call the guys and tell them to be in. Okay, is that going to fall underneath whatever you want to call it, emergency pay, call-out pay, whatever? There's always been a situation between that definition.
Well, and the way you're proposing this, John, that would just go right on to they'd start their week there and
would just fall under overtime rules.
Let me understand what you're saying, Galen. You're saying that you don't think that this solves the problem of being called out or not being called out. Is that what you were just saying?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say that in my mind it would, because the on-call foreman shouldn't be calling. I mean, the decision to go out and push snow is your decision. So as the highway superintendent, so that decision needs to be put down from you, and that's part of the job of being a county employee. So whether they start early, it doesn't matter when or if the call-out foreman is the one calling them. That just because the on-call foreman calls somebody doesn't make it call-out pay.
Yeah.
That's what you were thinking too, wasn't it, John?
Well, right. And really, that's part of the problem with the old policy is that it should say on-call pay and then the rest of it just fall under overtime rules. And we always add more in there because of feedback and it gets to where it is questionable. But
you don't want them to flex hours, though. You want them to, if they come in at 5 and work till 7, they could still work an 8-hour day, or if they have extra time the next day. Nobody's saying shorten your other days to hit a 40-hour week. That way they'd still get their overtime.
I think some of that is on, again, I think some of that's on Galen, though. I mean, if you got an employee that doesn't care about getting paid the overtime, which from the sound of things, I don't think we got too many of those. But if you got somebody that's not wanting the overtime pay and they were in at 5 o'clock in the morning and at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you're done with everything's done and everybody's back at the shop just, you know, ho-humming around. I think that's up to Galen. I mean, if somebody wants to leave early and flex their day on that, I think that's kind of Galen's call. I think that's your call as to whether or not you want to do that or not.
Well, and it has been. I mean, there has been times the guys, they come in an hour too early and say they get in at 2 o'clock and they just soon go home.
Right.
Well, then they know they don't have, that's not overtime pay.
Right.
You know, they chose to go home.
Yeah.
So they understand that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Supervisor Bauman, you've been quiet.
I said last meeting, I'm done talking about this.
Right. I'm done. See what they say.
Well, Terry, you might get more feedback from them down there, too, and maybe even have John or Eric go with you when you guys set up a meeting so that a couple of you come back and you can have that discussion, too, a little bit. But yeah.
One other thing, Terry, and I think it'd be good for you to include this in your conversation so that maybe get feedback on it, too, is that, you know, there's not very often that somebody's not, you know, they're working what they consider to be, you know, extra hours or whatever, and they're not getting the time and a half because of one thing or another. It seems this last time even, you know, everybody was concerned about the fact that it didn't say call out on their time card, but they still got time and a half. They were still all on overtime and got time and a half. It didn't matter if it said call out or not. And, you know, I had the one individual that, and I, you know, when they started the conversation, he called me and I said, you know, listen, you need to talk to your supervisor. You need to talk to Galen before you come and talk to us. But I did have a little conversation with him. And that was one of the things that I explained to him was that, you know, every individual that worked that extra time got paid time and a half. Well, but everybody still got paid time and a half. You know, they were still covered. And more often than not, I haven't had Don go back over the last 4 years and pull out those extra hours and, you know, whether or not they would have got it or would not have got it or if anybody was short that halftime. But I'm pretty certain there's not very darned often that it's happened. So
I just want to take a pleasant minute and welcome a guest who just came in, our former mayor and state senator and now runs federal government, Dave Marstead. Dave, we're glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Morning. Well, the good news is, as far as I'm concerned, is you guys will continue to talk about this.
We will invoke your name.
You will. Well, no good. And I think your next step is you really need to go down there and have a meeting and have some other guys go with you and get some feedback from them. And good luck solving the issue.
All right.
So I think the holiday one, I think that's a good proposal, though. I think that will help because right now that especially we made it by the two – well, I shouldn't say we made it by. We made it by the 2 weeks in the winter where we normally have an issue with that, and that's Christmas and New Year's, so it doesn't look like there's going to be any snow the rest of this week. So
forget about Easter anymore.
Oh, I know. Then you still have Easter, and what is it? The President's Holiday always falls in February, so there's other holidays that always come up, and that's always an issue. So
somebody you know out there.
Yep. Yeah. Somebody else to play with now.
Yeah.
So I don't see anything else on the thing there. It says except. I guess we're going to have a little reception here afterwards. So,
Were we waiting for 10:30 for this, or
you can do that now, and we'll get the stuff.
Okay.
Set up and we'll adjourn the meeting.
All
right. Okay. Well, I had my head in my rear, and I wasn't thinking ahead of time, so I don't have a good long speech to give here about Myron. But at this time, I do have a plaque here, and a couple of things I want to say. I came onto this board with Myron and Terry and Kathy Setzer 8 years ago and been on here the whole time that Myron's been here. And I can tell you there's not anybody that's more dedicated to what we've done in the last year, 8 years. It's been a pleasure to work with him. And I could sit here and list out everything that Myron's been a part of and what he's been instrumental in, but it would take way too long to do it. It's been an excellent 8 years working with Myron. The one thing that I'll say, I'm going to be short here with not a whole lot of words, but the one thing I'll say is I've been the vice chair as long as he's been the chair, and probably nobody knows that I'm the vice chair because I think there's been two meetings where I've actually had to step in and take over for Myron. It hasn't been very often as the vice chair that I've had anything to do. It's been a pretty easy ride. So I just want to say thank you for your time. Thank you for your dedication to this board.
Thank you.
Thanks, Myron. about it.
Thank you. I hope nobody's expecting a speech from me, you know.
Myron, I'd like to say something.
Yep.
Kind of echoing Gary, 8 years ago, there was a Kathy Setzer, a field truck driver, a smart farmer, and a dumb farmer came on board. During those 8 years, it's been a pleasure. I mean, a real pleasure to serve with Myron. He's got common sense, everything it takes, and I know he will do real well at the next job. So, good job, Myron.
Yep. And I, one quick comment. When we came on 4 years ago, that basically changed the whole board because there was only three board members on that stayed on. We elected four new board members at that time, which, you know, here since then, we've elected Eric's the only new board member 4 years ago, and then now Eddie. So we haven't changed the board so much. But at that time, we changed the basically the whole make more than half the makeup of the board, and that was we all learned together though.
And the other thing about it is, you know, the board over the last 8 years, we've disagreed many times, but we've got along.
Yep.
I mean, it's not the idea that you have to agree with disagree, you know, and then you get along. That's your opinion, and that's it, you know. So
yeah, John's been new since 8 years too, though,
yes.
Haven't you? Yeah.
Exactly, and I will repeat what you said. We have a board that can disagree but still walk out of here and agree with each other and respect each other.
Yeah.
And Myron, I think you've had a good deal to do with that, of helping all of us to be together. I have enjoyed my service with you. It's been absolutely fantastic, and I hope you're keeping on the senatorial staff that I hired years ago.
One of them, yes, I am, yeah. Because I don't think you hired Barb, but I did. Janet, I am, yes.
Yep. That's good.
And stuff, so. No, it's been a great ride, great fun. We're looking forward to going up to Lincoln and starting up there. So, one quick thing, I'll make one other comment, quick comment. When I came on the board, I can still remember asking our former supervisor for our district up there, how much time does it take? And I don't want to scare Eddie away, but I said, they said it don't take much time. You just got two meetings every other week. Soon learn that there's more time than that. And then when you become chairman, then you really learn what time it takes. And I told people that there were times where, especially with RB After 6, I was putting in 30 hours a week, and people just look at me and say, you couldn't be. And I said, no, I could write down, and I could keep track of it. Yeah. At times we were putting in that much. So, the board takes as much time as you put into it. If you put in the time, it can take quite a bit of time. And to do a good job, it takes so much time.
Some of those weeks, if you only had 30 hours, you must not have been counting your travel time.
Yeah.
Well, that's I think you had more than that.
With you also, with Hickory Road, all our negotiations, Myron took care of almost all of that behind the scenes, meeting with people individually between him and Galen, and the meetings outside of town, the different meetings that you take care of, the people that call in and need to talk to you, the different events you've gone to. It's been fun. Like I say, I didn't know you when I came on, really. And, you know, over the time, we get to be friends and work together on different things. But regardless of who came up here to talk in front of us or out in the public, you always treated them with respect, always with humility. Even when you could see the way it was going, you still took care of them. You know,
except for one time.
it took a lot of pushing, though.
But I want to say, I got my daughter here. My daughter Erin is a PA at the Beatrice Hospital right now. She took time off to come here today. I have my granddaughter sitting right beside her, Dayton Dorn, and my son sitting over here on the edge, Kyle Dorn. He farms with us up by Adams. So pretty neat they got to come, especially we have two girls that are not having school today so that they're able to come to a county board meeting, because generally we sit here in this back here, we don't have anybody hardly sitting in there. This is kind of amazing today, all the people that came to the meeting today. We've had some public hearings or some zoning issues that we get the room full, but a lot of times we'll sit here and thank heavens Gus is the only one here because for security reasons, but other than that,
otherwise don't be here, right?
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't be here either, I don't think. So he's attended most all of our meetings too and stuff, so we've enjoyed it. It's been a fun ride, and I call adjourn the meeting at 10:12 on the clock. So.